Welcome to another episode of our NCLEX review series. In this podcast, we continue to bring you valuable materials to help you prepare for your exam. Enjoy.
All right, we did it. We went through neuro. We need to do skin. Oh, well, we have to talk about burns before you go home. We're almost done. Let's start with infectious disorders of the skin. I know we talked about, what is this on this picture? Can anybody pick that up? We talked about shingles earlier today. Let's just cover a couple of skin problems. Herpes, that's pretty simple. You can have type 1, you can have type 2. Patient has herpes, these are vesicular clusters at the corner of their mouth with type 1. They are painful. We can give them acyclovir. It's a virus. We don't have a cure for it, but we can treat you symptomatically. Your patient has this. Your goal is to manage pain, prevent the spread of the infection. Type 2 is found in the genital tract, vaginal, cervical, penile lesions, burning, painful vesicles. Doesn't matter if you have type 1 or type 2. We're not going to check to see if the type 1 is now in your type 2. We don't have to figure out how it got there. We're not going to test. Bottom line, they both are going to present the same way, just in different areas. The vesicles form, they open up, they form a crust, you heal in about a week to 2 weeks. We give you oral acyclovir to help speed the course, all right, so you're not in pain for so long and to help you with healing. Also, another type of herpes virus, you can develop shingles. Shingles is an acute reactivation of the varicella zoster. We talked about it this morning. You have to have a history of varicella, or you don't get it. Also, if you're immunocompromised, you put yourself at risk for shingles. So these are unilateral vesicles on a red base. They pus, they develop pus, they crust over, they heal. Once they crust over and heal, you are no longer contagious. Who are you contagious to? People who have never had the chickenpox. Because the shingles virus can cause someone who never had the chickenpox to get the chickenpox, correct? So we're putting them on precautions with shingles. What type of precautions? Contact precautions. They can have lesions. It's really bad when they get shingles to the trigeminal nerve on their face because then they usually have pain that never goes away. So they can have mild to severe pain if it's on the trunk region, itching first, then a fever, and the sores break out. Remember, once they crust over, they're no longer contagious, okay? And we usually diagnose you on symptomatology. We don't have to send any specimens to the lab. It looks like shingles. We diagnose you with shingles. How do you treat herpes zoster? We give Zovirax for patients in severe pain or if they're immunocompromised. We use wet compresses, NSAIDs. True or false? A side effect is peripheral edema. Can a patient develop peripheral edema?
From what?
From herpes zoster.
No, false. I don't know.
Everybody's like, what, huh? Where'd you get that from? Can they? How? How would they develop peripheral edema? What is peripheral edema? This makes you think. Remember, you're going to get questions with NCLEX where they'll throw something at you like, what? Well, think about it. Well, what is peripheral edema? Fluid building, backing up and going into the tissue. Is that going to happen when a person has herpes zoster? It shouldn't. Where's the connection, right? Also, it wasn't a trick. I was trying to keep you awake, yes. Good, I'm glad it worked. Antipyretic medication, prophylaxis, we give the varicella immune globulin. Okay, scabies. Now everybody's going to start itching. What is scabies? Does this patient go on precautions? Which type? Contact. And contagious infestation of the skin with the female itch mite. Severe itching. They get dark red scaly papules on their fingers, in the webs of the hand, between the fingers, the axilla, the waistline, the penis, and the arms. It spreads by contact, so we treat all family members. And basically, they apply this Quell over the counter, entire body. They keep it on at night, and then they wake up and they wash it off. Leave on the skin for at least 8 to 12 hours. We have to teach patients to wash all of their bed and bath linen and clothing in very hot, hot water. Make sure you change your linens daily, and you just basically clean the lesions with tepid water and soap. They're going to itch. Give them Benadryl or Atarax. And that's what it looks like. This is the web of the finger, and you see these little lesions sprouting up. And actually, when we were in nursing homes, you hate to get scabies in a nursing home. Oh my gosh, you have to quell the whole house. So what happens? You see a patient with this, you're not sure. This mite will actually travel up the hand. I could put like a black magic marker and mark it right here, and the next day the marker will be up here because the mite will take that dye and keep going up with it. Yeah. An infection control practitioner taught me that one. I was like, wow. Okay, psoriasis. We don't know about psoriasis. We don't know why it occurs. All we know is that it is a chronic inflammatory, non-infectious skin disease. We have an extra abnormal keratinization. The patient has large red plaque areas over which parts of the body? The flexor or the extensor? Is it the flexor or is it the extensor? Because we know eczema is going to happen where? Psoriasis is going to be the extensor, right? Eczema is the extensor. So, outermost layer of the epidermis, it's on the extensor surfaces. Patient has stress, that triggers it, an infection, trauma. Remember, it's an inflammatory response, so the immune system has a lot to do with this. We give them different treatments, salicylic acid, ultraviolet light. If it's really severe, the patient could go on methotrexate. But remember, with psoriasis, it is not contagious. We are not putting the patient with these lesions on precautions, okay? All right, and we can see it's on the extensor surfaces, this silvery, scaly patch. And it puts the person at risk for what? Infection. Okay, good, good. Just making sure. Latex allergies, found in rubber bands, balloons, condoms, latex gloves. This is a reaction to the latex proteins. It develops with repeated exposure. So now the person puts the gloves on and then they have a reaction. Or someone has the gloves with powder, they take the gloves off, the powder with the protein gets dispersed in the air, the patient inhales it, and they have an anaphylactic reaction. So when a person has latex allergies, no gloves with the powder, latex gloves with the powder, and you have to mark their door that this person has a latex allergy. No latex in the room. So who's at risk? People with repeated surgeries, spina bifida, healthcare workers, of course, all of us, and if you have different allergies. They made a connection between people that have allergies to certain fruits, tropical fruits. There's a cross link with the latex allergies. The protein is supposedly similar, so they have that allergy also. All right, so how would you find your patient? Hives, urticaria, runny nose, wheezing, all the signs of what? An allergic reaction. Okay, nothing different. How do you manage a patient? Well, we said you're going to wear vinyl gloves. Don't snap off latex gloves. They have to have a latex-free life support equipment cart, so there's no latex. And encourage the patient to wear some type of bracelet that says they are allergic to latex.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others and leave a rating. We wish you all the best in the coming examination. See you next time.